Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Scripture in Black and White. We're so thrilled that you are here with us. We're also thrilled again with Bobby and Michelle as we discuss in season three the topic of identity. We hope you have stuck with us through the first few episodes, and we've got a great one here for you today.
Hey, you didn't have to stick through them. Those were good episodes. That was good stuff, Anthony. And we've been mentioning a book that Anthony and Michelle have written on identity. And I don't want it to feel like on this podcast, we're just hawking a book or something like that. But the reason that we wanted the podcast to tie in with the book is because the two work really well together. Sometimes, you know, when you're driving around to listen to the conversation, but then also to literally sit down and read the book. And here's what's best, to sit down in a discipling relationship, because the book was created for discipling relationships, where with a group of other people, you can walk through each of the chapters and retrain your mind to align your mind with the truths of Scripture.
Yeah, there are conversation starters, questions at the end of every chapter, so that those conversations, you're not forcing, trying to come up with questions yourself. Yeah.
And there's a material in the book that we're not talking about that you want to be able to get.
We're just dealing here in Scripture in Black and White with the scriptural dynamics, many of the verses that we use, but there's so much more content in the book.
I want to talk in this session, if we can, about our personalities. Yeah. In my home, we often talk about personalities.
All right. Yeah.
Big personalities.
When my kids were growing up, we did the temperament profile, you know, the DISC, the dominant, influencing, steady, and I think the C is the calculating, or maybe it's cautious. I'm not sure which one it is, because we didn't have many high C's in my family. But Cindy and I would talk about how somebody had a dominant personality, they'd be a D, and somebody else had a life of the party, and they were an I for an influencer. And one day we're sitting at the table, and Ashley goes, "I just want everybody to know I'm an A. I'm Ashley."
She was trying to,
you know, see it. So we all have, given by God, different personality types. So how does that tie in, Michelle, to our identity?
Yeah, I think that it is important to understand that our personality types are given by God for his good work, for his glory, right? But I think
Ephesians chapter 3.
Yeah, and so what we tend to do, though, is go, oh, well,
wait,
I'm
that's
this.
Ephesians chapter 2. Sorry about
all
that.
Right. We're
created in Christ Jesus for good works.
What we tend to do is wrap our identity around the personality.
Yes.
Well, I am this. I am a dominant personality. I just have to take over the room. That's just who I am. Like, I have to take over the conversation.
Why are you looking at me like this?
Because I've known you a long time. But I think that it's important that we go, okay, well, what does that personality look like submitted to God, submitted to Christ, and how am I showing Jesus likeness? Like we said in the previous episode, how am I exhibiting Christ likeness in my personality? I'm not trying to be so uncomfortable if I am a dominant personality. I'm not trying to be so quiet as a mouse all the time. And that's what I think I have to do. Because the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians, just because, and we're going to use you as an example because you'll die on that sword, I know you will, of a dominant personality that still has to have patience. He still has to have kindness. He still has goodness, which he does exhibit all of those things, Bobby. But that doesn't mean that our boldness isn't also part of God's plan to be used for. And that's where we have to keep those separate. But know that we are all hands. Some of us are hands. Some of us are feet. Some of us have just different ways of expressing Christ through us.
I really appreciate you saying that. When I first became a follower of Jesus, nobody in my family was a follower of Jesus. I was real conscientious about it. And it's like I questioned after I became a follower of Jesus because I was hoping to influence people. And I started to question how I did everything.
Yeah.
And I went to that uncomfortable place, like you said, Michelle, where I felt like I was, and this was self-imposed. Nobody put this on me. Mm-hmm. But I felt like I needed to be a different type of person than I really was. I'm not talking about character traits or godliness, but a different type of personality profile. Mm-hmm. And that it just felt awkward, and it you know, I had to grow out of that.
Yeah.
But to be transparent with you, it took a while.
Sure.
Because some people, the way they talk about a Christ-like person, they're describing this, like, for example, Mr. Rogers was something a lot of people grew up watching, you know.
Yeah.
He's always nice and casual and steady. And the profiles, you know, he'd be a real ass, a real, you know, phlegmatic personality type. And like, that's not me.
Yeah.
And if that's what I have to be like Jesus, then it's not possible to just destroy your personality. You can do that for a while, but it's not really who you are.
And nor is God asking you to do that.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. Yeah.
There's a couple of areas that we can get lost.
By the way, I got to say this. Because Anthony and I both lead ministers, pastors of churches, people often have in their mind what a pastor should be like.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it's like Mr. Rogers. And he's you need to be kind and gentle, but there's a profile they want it to be. And so often in my life, like it's not my profile. So it's not just us, but there's the image of Jesus in different personalities that we need to accept as people in Christ in the body. I'm sorry, Anthony.
There's a couple of areas that we can fall if we don't make that nuanced distinction between personality and identity. If we confuse the two, we can be discipling personality rather than discipling Christ.
Yeah.
And even what you're just painting, that caricature of what we expect a person to be, I would end up discipling, well, you need to be like this caricature.
Yeah.
Whereas in Christ, you've got room for a dominant personality.
Yeah.
You've got room for a quiet personality.
Yeah.
Quiet doesn't necessarily mean weak. Mm-hmm. It just could mean quiet, but because of the stereotype, we tend to, again, personality, we confuse that with identity. This chapter really helps with that.
That's good. Talk to us about the passage from Galatians, Anthony. That's kind of at the heart of what we're talking about.
The fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
So all of, I like that passage, one, because of how he contrasts that with the works of the flesh. Mm-hmm. So the work of the flesh, however, the fruit of the Spirit are these elements that are, I would say, irrespective of personality type, patience, whether you're a dominant or a quiet or assertive or not, you have the Spirit to be patient. And we have to conform to that.
Kind.
There are some people that will say, and they're describing their personality, but they will say, well, hey, I'm just blunt.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you choose to be very blunt.
Yeah. There's a way to be blunt that's Christ-like and a way to be blunt that's not Christ-like.
Right. But
speaking truth.
But I'm saying, but because we confuse that with personality, we take that to mean if I'm this, that I don't have the capacity to still be kind.
Nor should I have to be.
Right. Because I'm
me.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Let me read the passage. So he talks about the flesh. Let me lay that out. So we're in Galatians chapter 5, and the apostle Paul, God inspires him, and he says this, the acts of the flesh are obvious. So this is where you're acting just on your fleshly, biological, you know, impulses. The acts are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And then he says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So you definitely don't want to build a lifestyle around just following your fleshly impulses.
Yeah.
And then he says, but the fruit of the Spirit. So fruit is something that is produced over time. Can I just say that? It's not like you don't get to the fruit of the Spirit by willpower. It's walking closely with God, pursuing Christ's likeness, pursuing your identity, trial and error, falling down, getting back up. And then over time, the following fruit appears as just one fruit in nine dimensions, right? Yes. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And he says, against such things, there is no law, meaning that it's not the realm of law to make you that kind of person. It's the realm of the Spirit changing.
Meaning following the rules.
Yeah, following the rules won't do it. It's following Jesus, the heart of Jesus, and the rules sometimes. So that over time you become that kind of person.
Yeah. That's my heart change, right? So my heart has changed so that I want to follow the rules.
Yeah.
Right? And so my heart is in the right place to follow those rules, the things that he set forth.
Yeah.
And it is a surrendering my personality to what the Spirit has called for me. That's one of those things that does take time. Now, same guy writing this, you know, Paul uses the analogy in Colossians that we're rooted and grounded. Mm-hmm. And then he says here in Galatians, the fruit that comes from that. So this is a growth thing must take place with me being rooted and grounded in Christ.
It's good. So let's talk about how that works in our lives.
Okay. I'll take you.
So Michelle already unmasked me. I'm more the high D type person. And so I'll just talk about some of my weaknesses and some of my strengths, given the personality that I came with. So my personality is that I can be dominant. I very much want to see things get done. And in my flesh, I can be the guy to jump in and say, let's do it this way. Let's do it. You know, like waiting for somebody else to do it is not my nature. Also, I can be strong-willed in the sense that, you know, there may be resistance, but that's not necessarily going to stop me. And so those things can mean that I just kind of do what I want to do and I could in my flesh run over people. Okay. But if my identity is in Christ, Jesus wouldn't do that. He wouldn't run over people. But Jesus, at the same time, if he were a high dominant like me, it would be under the Spirit's control. There'd be a meekness about it. But he would, and I'll just try to personalize it. I think God wants me to be bold. I think he made me that way, but it needs to be in the power of the Spirit. Just this past week, we had a meeting where I was able to bring together 40 senior ministers and pastors that Anthony was supposed to be at, but couldn't make it because of a conflict. But when we were there, it took a little bit of strength and courage that I think God made in my personality for me to say, this is where we need to stand right now, given what's happening in our world. Here, you know, we got to be bold and courageous. And I told them that, and I was able to say, let's go, let's charge. So on the one hand, I started by describing what could be the weakness. But then on the other hand, if the Holy Spirit is working in me and I am being the kind of person that God, you know, my personality is harnessed by the Spirit. There's an old expression, Augustine has this great line. He says, and now, dear Lord, with your help, I will become myself. And it's, you know, I'll become in Christ who you made me to be. So that's me.
Yeah.
Anthony, let's go to you next.
I'm gonna share this as I get there. I think he had asked you, Michelle, to give some practical steps, and I want to share this before you get there. This relates to what you're saying, Bobby. Sometimes words from a biblical space, obviously words have context. Context gives them meaning. But in our haste to communicate sometimes, it's easier for us to just highlight a word, a particular thing. So we either say this is good or bad.
Yeah.
When really the context is what gives it meaning.
Yeah.
So when you use that example, I'm listening to you and I know where you're coming from, but I want to help the viewers as well to understand when you say, hey, I'm headstrong. Immediately, there are people who will paint that as a negative action.
It's just,
that's just an identifier. Context determines that. If there's something that needs to be built and you're in a room of people, somebody in that room has to say, okay, guys, this is what we need to do.
Yeah.
That you need that.
Yeah.
But if there is something that is being done and you don't want to do it and you say, hey, I'm not going to do that, headstrong will be context determined.
Yeah, that's right.
So I don't want it to be necessarily a good or bad. Just understand, hey, these are some of the areas of my personality that, you know, this is how they're identified. God can use that, right? God uses that. For me, I know I can be very analytical. And in my analysis, there are those who are creatives that we have analysis paralysis, right? I can be so concerned about, okay, how do I say it? How is it going to land? And how is that going to make them feel? And I don't want them to feel this way. And so maybe I'll say, and I'll stay there for a long time. While at the end of the day, I haven't said it yet. And so I may miss the opportunity because I've been analyzing. Now, there's a space for that.
Yeah.
There has to be somebody that stops and says, hold on, guys, before we put this out, let's review it. Let's look at it. Let's, you know, how is this going to land? What's the message? But sometimes it becomes a hindrance for me. Sometimes I can be, as an artist, abstract, creative. I see different perspectives. Sometimes that's a good thing. Yeah. We need a different perspective.
I love your artistic side, by the way.
Sometimes we need it. But then sometimes that can become, how do we make it look better versus actually we need to make it happen. One of the examples that I remember took place, Solomon was trying to get the chariot or the ark up, and he puts it on this ornate sled and all of this kind of stuff, and it falls off. He's trying to make it look a particular way versus, oh, let's just get it done like God wanted it done. So with me, sometimes I can be in that realm of how is this going to look versus, hey, let's just get it done. But how do I couch that under, how do I surrender that to God?
Yeah.
If at times where I just have to say, God, what would you have me to do?
Yeah.
And that may go against my creative nature.
Right.
That may go against my, well, if I say this, Bobby's going to feel this way and I don't want him to feel that way.
Yeah.
Not well, it's also about relationship, right? Because the idea is that the fruit, I don't have to be patient if I don't have anybody else in my life.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I really don't need to exude much patience.
Right.
And that he's, you and I have been in relationship on staff and other for what, 15 years. And what the spiritual growth for you is that I have a similar personality also where I can pull through and take charge and do that kind of thing. But what happens is that because of your spiritual maturity is when he's got that bull by the horn, you still can go to you and go, hey, so this is the angle I'm seeing it from. He's like, oh, I hadn't seen her from that angle. And I know that you're going to hear it, you know? And I think that that's something that we forget when it comes to the fruit of the spirit and also our personalities is that we're meant to work together.
Yeah.
Right? So so my daughter was
leading. And to be in relationship.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. My daughter was leading a ministry and she's in her early mid-20s now. And she called and said, okay, we have this issue, this conflict, and I don't know what to do about it. And so she told me the scenario, and I said, well, I believe that God is going to always put the relationship up very high. So is this something where the ministry is going to fail if you don't preserve this relationship in the sense that, or can you preserve this relationship and still the ministry benefit? I said, go with the relationship first. I think God is going to call you to be a peacemaker in this instead of just going, well, I know the right way to do it. So, because she's an analytical thinker.
Yeah.
So she's like, no, I've already figured out the best way to do this, right? He's just not agreeing with me. And I'm like, okay, but let's look at the relationship first. You know, shaving off 2 minutes from the whole system is not worth losing this relationship, you know? And I think that's something that we can forget about when we're looking at our personalities and going, okay, how does God want me to work within my personality with other people?
Yeah.
And so when I know I'm not my best self, when I know that I am, have not been in the Word the way I need to be, when I know I'm not surrendered to the Spirit the way I need to be, I know I will bowl through people.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And so when I start to see that, like, starting to head in that direction, okay, Michelle, back up.
Yeah.
Like, let's get yourself centered before you even start to try to lead anything or be in relationship with people. Because he has designed us to work together.
Yeah.
And use all of those different personalities beautifully, you know?
I actually think that one of the really important things is to see that like you mentioned earlier, like Romans 12, you know, that some have the gift of leadership, some have the gift of teaching, some have the gift of mercy. Part of really loving people well is to acknowledge how God's wired them.
Yeah.
You know, the workmanship. Again, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works.
Mm-hmm.
The word there is actually a form of poem, poema, I got to be transparent here, because I've been in relationship with you guys, I actually see the beauty of it. Like I wasn't joking when I said, I love your creatives.
Yeah.
I love the fact that Michelle is a strong, godly woman who moves through the world in such a way. She has strength, but she honors like male leadership in her home and in the church. And yet she's a strong woman. Mm-hmm. And just to see the strengths, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I don't always feel that way from other people about my strengths.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, and maybe it's because I grew up in Canada, but I live in the South now. And that when it comes to being a pastor, people have a profile. This is what a pastor is. And, you know, sometimes I'm more of a prophet or, you know, a leader.
Couldn't you imagine, though, in the early church, you've got, at one point, you got Paul, you've got Peter going around. And they're joined by a Barnabas. Someone who's an encourager, not just to them, but to those who are hearing, those who are a part of the ministry. Like, wow.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you need a guy like a Peter who, hey, we're going to have to get serious about this story. Paul, even in his ministry, you see he's had to lay down some difficult truths and he's had to kind of massage that a little bit. You need that. We can't hit all one note. I often say that about things like harmony. You know, you're not harmonizing when you hit the same note.
Yeah.
That's just amplification. Yeah. But harmony is made up when you have
different. Oh, that's good. I love that metaphor.
That's what creates harmony.
Yeah.
And I love the idea of speaking that out in other people. You know, there are people that I will connect together because I'm like, you know what? You are the right person to help this woman. I am not the right person to help this. To help the situation, I could force it and I could do it if I had to, but you two are men. Like, this is a good fit. Mm. You know, you have the compassion that is necessary that she needs right now. And that's a good thing to be able to connect those people and see them live out the way that they are designed, you know, and not to try to fight it, but to call the good out. Because I think we can also look at other people and go, wow, I wish I had that boldness.
Yeah.
I wish I had that creativity. If only I had, you know, and then we downplay the things that we are. Oh, I'm like, no, you are a beautiful, soft place for people to land. Yeah. Like, love it. That's great. Fantastic.
Yeah. By the way, you're good at that. Like, Jean Smith is my assistant, and she's fantastic.
Absolutely.
Amazing.
Yeah, so you guys really. But Michelle, you saw that before we did.
Yeah.
Michelle, I actually asked Michelle to pray about, you know, I needed somebody to be an assistant and I asked Michelle to pray about it. And, I forget the whole, but Michelle came up to me and she said, you should approach Jean Smith. And, cause you saw
it.
She's just fantastic.
Fantastic.
So, some last words. Let's, if somebody's watching us or they're listening to this podcast and they're saying to themselves, how can I better accept my personality and live it out? What just Anthony and then Michelle, what's some advice you would have?
So Christ has to be the lens, the prism through which everything flows.
Yeah.
His word helps us to manifest that. So I don't want to look at it from my perspective and my idea of, well, love is hard and rough and we need tough. Well, wait a minute. Let me back up. How did Christ?
Yeah.
And although my personality may be one that's bold, brash, et cetera, how do I best exhibit this spirit, the fruit of the spirit, as Christ were? Mm-hmm. So Christ has to be the lens and the word helps me to manifest.
That's good.
And I think it's a really good idea to be looking at, Lord, what are the areas that with my personality, I'm going to struggle most in, you know, and how can he rewire my brain to be able to live that out in a way that is Christ-like, to go, okay, I know that when I get tired and stressed, that patience is going to be a tough one for me.
Yeah.
So, okay, here comes a week that's really a stressful week. Let me lean into the Lord. Let me really lean into those passages that talk about peace and talk about joy and talk about those things so that I can fill myself up knowing that this is going to be maybe a struggle for me.
No, yeah. That's good. Well, important stuff, because at the end of the day, God wants us to live lives in the here and now.
Yeah.
With the personalities he's given us that are formed into the image of Jesus, bringing out the strengths from each personality type, minimizing the weakness so that God's glorified and we really help people and we help expand the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for joining us for this session. If you're watching on YouTube, we want to encourage you to write down comments below, to like what you're watching. And if you're listening to the podcast, we hope you'll recommend it to others. So thank you for being with us. Anthony, any last words?
I'll see you next time on Scripture in Black and White.